Hey, church family, welcome back to the home. If you have a Bible, I want you to pick it up, turn with us to Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23. And as you're turning there to Luke chapter 23, I want to put up a few memes here on the screen. What's going on in our culture right now is very serious, but as it happens, it's pushing us into this season where everything seems different. And because of that, we get to laugh at ourselves a little bit, even though what's happening right now is not a laughing matter. So hear that. But for one of the memes that I saw this week, someone sent to me, said, I've got to find a new church. They sent it to me. Got to find a new church. Here is on the screen for you. Everyone here sings off key. Someone is always in my seat. No one even dresses up. I hate TV church at home. I don't know if that's what it felt like for you this morning. Actually, we've had a lot of people that have said they've really enjoyed worshiping with their family, but they're deeply missing being with the body of Christ. I'm feeling that way. Justin told me this week he was walking through the church halls and really this longing inside of him to be back with each other. Maybe that's the way you're feeling right now. That was pretty funny meme, though. Everyone here sings off key. For the record, I feel that way as I'm singing this morning. Not just at church, at work, right? So many of us are working at home, and as we're working at home right now, a lot of what our staff is doing is when we have meetings, we're on these Zoom conference calls, and people have joked about, hey, I didn't dress up for the Zoom call. Maybe you felt that way. Here we go. When you're working from home, this is a Chris Farley pick, and your boss messages you about doing a Skype meeting. I love his hair. I've felt that way in a few of our Skype meetings, even I don't have hair. All right, here we go. All right, and then because we live in Texas, and just for the fun of it, here we go. Chuck Norris has been exposed to the coronavirus. The virus is now quarantined for the next 2 weeks. If only that was the case. If only that was the case. No, hey, really what's going on right now is a big deal. It's serious. That's why we're in our homes. We believe right now that one of the ways we're loving our neighbors is through really abiding by this physical distancing the best that we can. And with that, so many are still on the front lines. Maybe you've seen these pictures that are all over social media. They've gone viral this week. Here's a picture of a doctor and a nurse holding up the signs. I stayed at work for you. You stay at home for us. So that's what we're seeking to do, right? As this coronavirus hits our culture really hard. Here's another picture of a nurse and the superheroes of Marvel Comics standing there saying, welcome to the club. We want to thank all of you right now that are really serving on the front lines. And many of you, your jobs are essential. And so you're out there in the front. But as we're going through this time, right, it's almost like everything seems unsure. The news is changing daily. We were hoping to be back together for Easter just a few days ago, and now it's looking like we may not be together until May, and then some are saying it could be. What is there anything that we can be sure of right now? As we approach the cross of Jesus Christ this week, this Easter week, for us as Christians, even in a time where everything seems unsure, I want you to be reminded of what we are sure of. So I'm going to read to you Luke's story of the crucifixion, and then I'm going to focus on a dialogue that only Luke tells us about between Jesus and a criminal hanging on a cross, a dialogue that happens on the cross where Jesus died. And in this dialogue, I think we find great assurance. Let me start reading with you in verse 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the reward, we're receiving our due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he, this is now Jesus, said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed, and the centurion of the temple, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all of his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Pray with me. God, I pray right now in a season of great unknown, a season where everything seems unsure, a season where so many of us are unsure of our health, so many are unsure of our finances, so many are unsure of our relationships and when we can be together again. I pray that this Easter week you would remind us of the assurance we have in the cross of Jesus Christ. Right now, I want to invite you to just confess to God in your heart silently, wherever you are, things that you feel unsure of. And ask God right now to remind you what Jesus has done for you and how you can find blessed assurance in Jesus. Pray for me. Pray that my words would be clear. Pray that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That they would be helpful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you're taking notes, we've titled this talk today, The Assurance of the Cross. The Assurance of the Cross. And we're going to focus on the dialogue that Jesus has with these criminals. So go with me to verse 39. One of the criminals is going to die in his sin. He's not going to find the assurance that this other criminal is going to find. But watch what happens. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him. He's going to join in with the other mockers, saying, are you not the Christ? Interesting, Christ has come up several times in the last few verses. They're mocking him, saying that, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Even the word salvation, rescue. The Messiah should be rescuing. You're dying. What's going on here? Save yourself and save us. He's mocking him. Verse 40, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Now, this dialogue would have been in really difficult. The crucifixion, they would be hanging on a cross. The crucifixion, the death was usually, historians tell us and people who would study what crucifixion was, would usually have been through suffocation. So they'd be pulling themselves up by the nails in their hands and feet to talk. So it's in broken language, but I'm not going to continue to do that. I did a little bit as I was reading through the text. But he says, do you not fear God? So one of these criminals was a fearer of God. In fact, the God here in the original language is the God of the Jew, the God that would send a Messiah. Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Verse 41, and we indeed justly, watch this, this is powerful. If you want the assurance of the cross of Christ, you've got to see what this man first recognizes. We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. This criminal dying on the cross realizes he is a sinner. He realizes that what he is getting, he deserves. He realizes his guilt. There's a great problem in our culture, and it's primarily in the West, where there are many people that think that Christians believe that heaven is full of good people. The Bible doesn't teach us that heaven is full of good people. The Bible teaches us that heaven is full of forgiven people. And this criminal on the cross recognizes he is a sinner. Can you imagine what he had done to deserve the death penalty? Not just even the death penalty, but public torture crucifixion. This man is hanging on. And in your life, there's a man that I'm aware of in our church that has struggled to get to the point of saying, yes, I'm saved, because he believes that he has sinned too much to be saved by Jesus. But I think there may be more of us who think, no, I'm really a good person. We don't see the fact that we are sinners. And maybe we show up like Jesus told a parable about two people that show up to pray. There was a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee, in his prayer, God says, God, thank you that I'm not like these other people. He compares himself to worse people, and he thinks, well, I'm pretty good. But there's the tax collector that in his prayer, he is humiliated before God, and he says, have mercy on me, God. The sinner is what he says. And Jesus says that that tax collector is the one who left that prayer justified. Have you in your life realized your guilt, realized your sin, realized like this dying criminal that he was receiving the just reward, what was due to him for his deeds? That's what he recognizes. Have you ever gotten there? I think in this season, like some of you even the last week have recognized at home, I didn't have a long fuse. Some of you have said things that you regret even this last week to your children or students, maybe to your parents. Maybe you haven't respected your parents like you know the Bible tells you to. Some of you maybe have looked at pictures you know you shouldn't have looked at. Maybe you've said things about other people you know you shouldn't have said. Some of you this week have treated your spouse in a way that if Jesus was sitting beside you, you would have been humiliated by. Okay? I want you to find the assurance that this criminal found. Why? Because again, the assurance of the cross of Christ is going to be this. It's going to be the confident realization that our sin is forgiven. Do you recognize your sin? This criminal did. And keep going with me. He didn't just recognize his sin. He's going to recognize, it's a confident realization that his faith will save him. Watch, he's hanging on the cross. And then this man on the cross, after saying we're receiving the due reward for our deeds, back to verse 41, he says, but this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay, I want to talk about what he doesn't do first, okay? Again, I talked about the problem a second ago in our culture of some people thinking that the heaven is full of good people, and so I just need to try to be good enough to get it. No, heaven's full of forgiven people. There's another problem right now in our culture, and I think that through this COVID crisis, there are many people that are waking up to this, but there are people that think that I must do the right thing to be saved. Or maybe they even question their own salvation because they think, did I do my salvation right? Some people questioning, man, did I do confirmation the right way? Or did I really say the right words when I said the prayer? Or did I, hey, it's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did. It's not how we're saved. It's who has saved us. Another way of maybe saying that is it's not you do, it's he did. Now, recognize the fact that this man is hanging on the cross. He's a criminal. What can he do now to earn his way into heaven? Nothing. He can't get baptized. He can't crawl down off the cross and go on a mission trip. He can't go through all of, by the way, we believe, by the way, baptism is commanded and we should do that. But is it what gets us in? No. Mission trips are life-giving. God has called us into this great adventure to serve him, to live and love like Jesus. But living and loving like Jesus is not what saves us. Living and loving like Jesus is what the disciple does in response to our salvation. So this man, all he can do is cry out to Jesus in faith for salvation. What can he believe? Well, I think he can believe. He can believe maybe what Jesus has already cried out from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's cried out from the cross. He can believe maybe the very first ever gospel tract that's right above Jesus' head, that this is the King of the Jews. And he looks at it and hears people mocking him, and he looks in the eyes of Jesus and he recognizes, again, maybe remembering the Isaiah prophecies, despised and rejected by man, that by his stripes we can be healed. And he says, oh my goodness, this is the Messiah. And in faith, he cries out, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Has that ever happened in your life? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace we can be saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Assurance does not come through you working harder to get better. Assurance comes through you realizing what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Good Friday and Easter this week, focus on it. Okay, so here we go. The assurance of the cross of Christ is the confident realization that our sin is forgiven, our faith saves us, and then thirdly, finally, in a beautiful way, our future is secure. Our future is secure. Here we go. Go with me. After he cries out to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, verse 43 says, and Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Okay, this is mind-boggling. It's so beautiful. This Friday, we're going to have a special service for you where we're going to have seven teachers teaching through the seven recorded sayings of Jesus on the cross. Today we've read three of them, but we're going to have seven speakers for 7 minutes speak just about the sayings of Jesus from the cross. This is one of them. I want to invite you to tune in. It'll start at noon. Be at noon. You get to join in with us, listen to and focus on and just dig into what Jesus cried out from the cross. We'll have it at noon, at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Live feeds that you can join. Watch the service with us. But what we're going to see is Jesus crying out from the cross. Here, just let me focus on this one specific, the cry of assurance. Jesus here says, truly I say to you, notice again, difficult to speak, and not just you will be with me in prayer. He says, truly, he emphasizes this fact. He wants them to know this is not fake news. Truly I say to you, today, I'm not going to delay this promise, today you will, not you could be if there's a vaccination figured out, you will, not you could be if the stock market irons out. You will be, he says. Not you could be if the social distancing, the physical distancing gets worked out. No, you will be today. You will be confident assurance, confident realization of what he's doing. You will be with me, which is what eternal life ultimately is. And we can experience some of the joy of that here and now. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they know me, the only true God. But we will get to know it in full when we are with him in paradise. The word there, paradise, is literally the garden. One day we're going to be in the new heaven and the new earth, a perfect place where he's going to have wiped away every tear from every eye. No COVID, no financial crisis, no job loss. You're going to be with me in paradise. This is the promise to the Christian. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher, writes, "This man, who was our Lord's last companion on earth, was his first companion at the gates of paradise." And that can be true for you today, just like it was true for him. John, who was at the foot of Christ when this happens, writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "I write these things to you." He says the whole letter was about assurance. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God," just Jesus, "so that you may know that you have eternal life." Do you know that? Do you know that? The assurance of the cross, the assurance of the cross is the confident realization that our sin is forgiven, our faith in Jesus is what saves us, and our future is secured. You have that? Three people died at Calvary that day. One in sin, one for sin, and one forgiven. For you, which cross are you on? Are you the skeptic that doesn't believe? You're not Jesus, I'll just point that out to you. Or are you the one who does? Maybe you've moved crosses today. Maybe for you, you're understanding what Jesus has done and why Good Friday and Easter is such a big deal. If that's you, I want to give you the opportunity to pray with me the words that the criminal cried out from the cross. And if you've already made that decision, I want you right now to pray for these people who are praying that. So can you do everybody pray? Either pray these words with me or pray for the person praying these words. So right now, if you understand and believe that Jesus died for your sin, if that's where you are, you believe you're a sinner, that Jesus has come to die for your sin, I want you to imagine right now looking at the cross, and I want you right now to say out loud or in your heart the words of the criminal with me right now. "Remember me." You're saying this to Jesus. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." God, I pray for those that are crying out right now, and I pray that they would know right now the confidence that Jesus gives, that truly they will be with you in paradise. If you're making that faith decision right now, we usually don't even do this in our services in person, but I've been prompted to do something right now because I think an outward physical action often brings affirmation and confirmation to us of inward spiritual steps that we're making. So right now, wherever you are, even if you're alone in a room, if you've just cried out to God and said to God right now through to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. Even if you're alone or you're with other people, raise your hand. "Jesus, remember me when you've come into your kingdom." If you've made that decision today, we'd love to walk with you. You can text 50700 the word rescue. You can text that word, or if you feel more comfortable, you can email me, sam@firstmckinney.com. I would love to interact with you. If you want to even give me your phone number, I'll call you on the phone and we can have a conversation about walking with Jesus. I want you to have the assurance, okay? For those of you that have the assurance, this is Easter week. This is Easter week, all right? And this week we have the opportunity to invite our neighbors into the assurance that we have, our coworkers, our classmates, students, our friends. We can invite them into the assurance we find in Christ. We're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to have a sunrise service, live feed that you can be part of watching online. Maybe go out in your yard as we're going to be out and outside watching the sun come up at 7 o'clock Sunday morning. So 7 o'clock Sunday morning, live sunrise service, and we're also going to have a 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Excuse me, yes, so 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, special times for Easter. 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock sunrise, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. I want you to find one of those that you can be part of. Join us online and invite others to be part of that. Why? We want them to have the assurance we have in Christ. And Justin and Holly are going to lead us in a song called Blessed Assurance. And I want us to celebrate this together. But before they start singing, I want to remind you of who wrote this song. This is Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was born in the early 1800s in New York, and she early in her life had something medically go wrong. And she her eyes were hurting, but she got a bad doctor that ended up hurting her eyes, and she went blind. And a few years later, her father died. Like, talk about a time where there would be everything unsure. But she had a grandmother who spoke into her the truth of Jesus, the cross of Christ. Her name was Eunice. And later in her life, she would write these beautiful words, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine." Let's sing it together.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. My song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.